Welcome to Kingston Reid's Word to the Wise podcast series for HR and safety professionals.
Well, hello and welcome to our latest podcast. Today we are going to revisit a discussion that we started last year when we had a casual conversation about the law of casual employment in Australia and in particular the decision of the Federal Court in Rosato. My name is Alistair Boos and I am joined by...
Krista Lennard, it's lovely to be here.
So, Krista, as of a couple of days ago, Wednesday the 6th of August, the High Court has finally made it abundantly clear what a casual employee is.
They have indeed, and we have a definition as a result of the High Court's reasoning, and they've ruled that a casual is an employee who has no firm advanced commitment from the employer as to their duration of employment or the days or hours that the employee will work and provides no reciprocal commitment to the employer.
Now, it's fair to say, though, isn't it, that the full court of the Federal Court also adopted that definition. But it's what that actually means that now the High Court has given a different meaning to.
That's right. And I think if we take a step back, Alice, and look at the decision prior to WorkPac and Rosato in the Federal Court, and you'll recall WorkPac and Skeen, and Mr. Skeen was also a casual employee of WorkPac, and he had commenced proceedings in the Federal Court also claiming that he was anything but a casual and was a permanent employee. Now, when assessing whether Mr. Skeen was a casual employee in that case, the court looked at the characterisation of the employment as casual or otherwise, and they said that that required an assessment of the conduct of the parties to the employment relationship and the real substance, practical reality, and the true nature of the relationship. So in the Skeen decision, their honours really observed that this was a settled approach to the question of whether a person was an employee as distinct from a contractor, and reasoned that the same approach was appropriate when determining the nature of the employment relationship for casuals. Now, if we skip forward to Mr. Rosato's case before the Federal Court, Justice White was not persuaded by the conclusion in Skeen that it was appropriate to assess the totality of the relationship in determining the nature of the employment relationship. But he said that was wrong, but he came to a different view, and that was the existence of a firm advanced commitment was to be properly assessed at the time of commencement of the employment relationship, and that's not new and has been agreed by the High Court. But he said that was subject to the possibility of later variation, and so that's where we've had the difficulty, because really what Justice White and the full bench of the Federal Court of Australia said in Rosato was what occurs during the relationship may change the characterisation.
And that's what made this decision prior to the High Court overturning it, that's what made it so difficult for employers, isn't it? Because essentially what the full court said, if I can put it in layman's terms, is that they said when looking at whether or not someone's a casual, you look at the vibe of the thing at the time, rather than the intention of the parties when they entered into the contract. And that means that at any given day or any given week, an employee who was not a casual could suddenly become a casual or vice versa, which is incredibly unsatisfactory when it comes to determining employment entitlements. And what the High Court has done and said is to go back and say, well, no, we'll go back to the standard orthodoxy, which is we look at the contract and the contract of employment, which is a lovely thing to hear if you're a lawyer.
That's right. And indeed, it's interesting because during his employment relationship with WorkPac, Mr. Rosato considered himself throughout that entire period to be a casual employee. It was only subsequent to his employment ending and the WorkPac and Skeen case being decided that he then made a claim that he was in fact permanent during that period.
Precisely. So not only was it the express terms of the contract that the parties entered into that he was a casual employee, but it's actually what the intention of the parties were as well. There are some great quotes in the decision from the High Court that I think bear this out really nicely. In it, they say that to insist upon binding contractual promises as reliable indicators of the true character of the employment relationship is to recognise that this is the function of the courts to enforce legal obligations, not to act as an industrial arbiter whose function is to synthesise a new concord out of industrial differences. It is no part of the judicial function to reshape or recast a contractual relationship in order to reflect a quasi-legislative judgment as to the just settlement of an industrial dispute. And to me, that really hits it on the head as to what the High Court decided in this case.
That's right. I think one of my favourite quotes from the decision was when they said the function of the court is to enforce the terms and not to delve into the in-between. And they use the phrase, to avoid the descent into obscurantism that would accompany acceptance of an invitation to enforce something more than a mere expectation, but less than a contractual obligation. So again, it's very clear that the court is stripping back that more complex review and layer that the federal court had placed on the relationship and taken it to be one of the intention of the parties and the express and implied conditions at the time the employment relationship was entered into.
Let's just quickly, to put this in context, go back to the facts about Mr. Rosato and his employment contract and his employment arrangements, because they're not, well, while they're common in that particular industry, they're not that common across the board in terms of casual employment.
That's right. Well, WorkPac is a labour hire company. It employed Mr. Rosato to work at its clients' coal mines between a period of 2014 and 2018. Now, the contracts under which he was employed consisted of a casual or maximum term employment conditions. They were the general conditions. And then he had six discrete letters of offer, if you like. And he was covered by the enterprise agreement that WorkPac had in place throughout that period. Now, throughout his employment, he was paid a casual employment loading for the purposes of the Fair Work Act and indeed for the purposes of the enterprise agreement, where he was classed as a casual field team member. And his rate of pay was more than what was payable to a permanent employee under that enterprise agreement. As I said earlier, during his employment, Alice, he regarded himself, and the evidence was that he accepted he was a casual employee, and it was only after that employment ended that he chose to challenge that relationship. So WorkPac sought a declaration in the Federal Court of Australia that Mr. Rosato was a casual within the meanings of Section 86, Sections 95 and 106 of the Fair Work Act, and that the additional amounts that he was seeking, that he was then not otherwise entitled to because he had been paid the casual loading, either pursuant to the contract or the enterprise agreement. And so they ran an argument that, one, he was at all times a casual employee, but also that if they were wrong on that, that he was entitled, they were entitled to either set off any monetary amount for any annual leave, sick leave or holidays, but that ultimately that they were not responsible for that payment.
Yeah, and it was the decisions below in both Skeen and Rosato that the government cooked up a legislative fix, didn't they?
They did.
Twice.
Yes. Regulation 20...
One more successfully than the other.
Regulation 203A, which the federal court in Rosato took a very black little law view to and said that it wasn't in lieu of in relation to Mr. Rosato's claim. It was an entitlement for the payment. So that failed, at least at that stage. And it's something that the High Court actually didn't get a chance to consider in this case because Mr. Rosato was found to be a casual. In any event, subsequent to that, we all know in March this year, the federal government passed a further piece of legislation which dealt with casual employment and importantly in that bill introduced prohibitions and mechanisms for employers such that employees couldn't double dip if they were found to be incorrectly characterised as a casual.
That legislation, not only does it deal with that double dipping issue, it's also retrospective, so it deals with historical issues with the contract of employment and casual employees. But it also sets out clearly a definition of casual employment, doesn't it?
It does.
And is that consistent with the decision of the court?
Yes, the definition is broadly consistent with what the Fair Work Act definition is. The Fair Work Act was amended to include a definition that a person is a casual employee if they accept a job offer from an employer knowing that there is no firm advance commitment to ongoing work. And that's critical. That is indeed what the High Court agreed would be the case. And once employed as a casual, the Fair Work Act provides that they will continue to be a casual until they become a permanent employee, either through the casual conversion provisions or by being offered and accepting full-time or part-time employment.
So it's all about the contract. The Fair Work Act now tells us that it's all about the contract, getting the contract of employment right. And now the High Court tells us that it's all about the contract of employment and what are the enforceable rights that the parties agreed to when forming that contract in relation to whether or not someone was a casual employee. What did the court say about the contracts of employment here, and if you could just draw out the really important elements in relation to that contract of employment and the enforceable rights.
Sure. So in answering that question, the court was tasked with answering a broader question. That was he a casual employee for the purposes of the Fair Work Act? And secondly, was he a casual employee for the purposes of the enterprise agreement? Now, essentially, the High Court accepted WorkPAC's arguments and submissions before them that whether an employee is classified as a casual depends on the express or implied terms of the employment contract, just what we've been discussing. And if the terms of that contract are wholly written, as was the case with Mr. Rosato's, then those terms are identified and construed without reference to the post-contractual conduct. So that was the first key point. The court looked at whether those contracts expressly or impliedly contained any commitment to any future promise of work, and they found that it didn't. In Mr. Rosato's case, the general conditions contemplated that his employment was on an assignment-by-assignment basis, with each assignment performing a discrete period of employment on that casual hourly basis that he was being paid. They looked at the letters of offer contemplated and saw that and agreed they readily and quickly enabled termination during the assignment by an hour's notice or in accordance with the enterprise agreement, which provided in no notice in the case of a casual employee under that enterprise agreement.
One of the things that I really struggled with the decisions below was this idea that the absence of the firm advance commitment was incongruous with the presence of an employee on a roster, or in Mr. Rosato or Mr. Skeen's case, on essentially, I'll call it a swing, you know, an assignment for a period of time. And that reasoning was consistent with some full bench decisions of the Fair Work Commission as well, which said that the presence of an employee on a roster is not consistent with the absence of a firm advance commitment. And I struggle with that because it's simply incompatible with a business's ability to be able to operate, because everyone has to go on a roster. You don't know when someone's going to turn up to work or when you as an employee have the option of turning up to work or are expected to turn up to work unless you have an actual roster. And there was a lot of time spent in a judgment looking at this particular issue because Mr. Rosato's case really relied on that reasoning below and the idea that he was committed for that entire period of that roster once he committed to it. And he didn't have a choice to only really work some of it and then leave the Glencore mine and not turn up again.
Yeah, that's right. And ultimately the High Court found that reasoning was flawed and that he didn't actually work to a prescribed roster. WorkPAC had argued in counter to Mr. Rosato's arguments that they were client rosters and work patterns and that they were generic and not particular to Mr. Rosato, and that was accepted essentially by the High Court. But the High Court gives commentary in the decision about it not being essential and that it was incorrect reliance, I guess, on that reasoning in the court below.
And that was in part too because the court decided that there was an absence of a firm advance commitment to continuing work beyond the completion of that particular assignment as well, which is critically important if you overlay this decision into more standard casual settings, such as casual employees who might appear in a retail business on a weekly or fortnightly roster, or in the healthcare sector on a fortnightly or monthly roster. The absence of the commitment beyond that particular roster period falls into this same category, doesn't it?
It does.
And really does line up with that High Court reasoning that they can still be a casual.
That's right. And you know, really puts the focus on, if we recall back to some of the Fair Work Commission decisions that have come through subsequently post-Skene, and Bed Bath Table being one of them, where there was a casual employee employed during a summer period over Christmas holidays because she'd been employed on a regular and systematic basis. And remember, the Fair Work Act contemplates regular and systematic casuals. And this
that was interesting in the decision that they touched upon that.
Yeah, right. And they said that it's therefore not unforeseeable that there would be a regular
systematic casual
of work. That's right. And so I think that was a really important point, and one that I know we employment lawyers have always sort of maintained, that there's this inconsistency and tension between the Fair Work Act concept of this regular systematic casual, which is somebody employed beyond 12 months or 6 months, depending on the size of the business, and, you know, the concept that you can't have these ongoing and regular patterns of work, noting that that firm advance commitment doesn't extend beyond the roster or the roster pattern that's being presented to the employee.
It's not an enduring contract of employment as we know it, which is a hallmark of permanency. What does this do to all those back pay claims? There's the interesting development of the class action litigation funded proceedings
dollars. Their algorithm as to whether or not they should be funded will be quickly changed. I think it really puts to bed any class action claims, one, because you've got to get through the hurdle. Now, that's not to say somebody couldn't still be mischaracterised as a casual if that intention at the beginning isn't correct and there is that firm intention of ongoing employment. But look, that's the first hurdle. And the second hurdle is, of course, the introduction of the legislation in March, which, you know, again, doesn't enable a casual employee to double dip where they've received their loading in compensation for any other entitlements that they'd be entitled to.
Yeah, you just touched on a really interesting point. I wouldn't want us to convey that once you enter into a contract, that remains the enforceable terms of the employment relationship forevermore. Employment relationships and employment contracts, more correctly, can be varied.
That's right.
But you would need evidence of the intention of the parties to vary that contract at that time.
That's correct. I think some of the other interesting takeouts from this is, for a long time, the labour hire industry has been in a state of flux, particularly because whilst labour hire companies typically employ employees on a casual basis and then send those casuals to clients where they do have, you know, regular and ongoing employment in many cases, that this has really saved that industry. And there is a place for labour hire in the employment landscape. So that's another, I think, interesting point to note. And of course, we should note that when we talk about casuals, we can't forget that we have enhanced NES provisions and the conversion rights that exist now within the NES and the obligations on employers and employees in relation to conversion are an important hallmark now of that relationship.
Do you think that there's any further implications of this very, I suppose, orthodox approach to the primacy of the contract that we can see perhaps being applied in the employment law context?
I certainly do, and I think the High Court, walking back from the decision of Vabu, which was a prior High Court decision of quite a while ago now, Hollis and Vabu is a case that deals with contractors and employees and whether one is one or the other. And so the contractual approach, if I could call it that, taken by this High Court in the decision of Rosato, I think will have key and quite resounding implications for the independent contractor employee debate.
And there's quite a few of those wending their way through the Superior Courts at the moment.
There's the JAMSEC and the personnel contracting cases. So I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. That is an area of law that is increasingly, again, complex and difficult because, as I said earlier, with the Skene decision, the Federal Court, in that initial Skene and WorkPac decision, took into account the way in which the contractor employee cases have been running and that Hollis and Vabu notion that you take in the totality of the relationship to determine if a person is an employee or a contractor. And if that if the High Court in this decision is walking back from that, which they clearly do in their decision, then that's going to have clear implications moving forward.
Interesting. A space to watch. Okay, to finish off, practical implications. Well, what do employers need to do right now, if anything at all?
Well, right now they need to make sure that they've assessed their conversion obligations.
And we hope that they did that back in March, if you haven't.
There is a September deadline looming, so that's really important. And again, back from March through to now, really there's no excuse if you have casual employees to make sure that your contracts are correctly drafted, that you are keeping an eye on your NES obligations in respect of offering conversion and all. Accepting and rejecting requests for conversion to permanent employment and indeed really having regard to the nature of the relationship. I know what we've said, it's not about the totality of the relationship according to what one party thinks versus the other, but really assess that, you know, expectation of ongoing permanency and whether or not, you know, you are assessing the relationship correctly.
Yeah. So, you know, contract is king. Go back, make sure you have proper contracts in place. If your contracts with your casual employees express correctly and characterise the employment relationship in the terms that both you and the employee intended, then, and in accordance with the new provisions in the Fair Work Act, then a lot of your concerns about casual employees will be dealt with.
Happy days.
Very happy days.
And please make sure you subscribe to A Word to the Wise. You can find the podcast series on any of your podcast apps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.